At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
I didn't see any really new things. He maintains that he was unfairly targeted, and that Chess.com and Magnus were colluding, and that they were attacking him personally, like him against the world, and everyone's working against him, which I think we spoke a bit about it before, like what happened in terms of the global championship and everything. That was, I think, very sketchy. But the idea that like everyone's working against him, or that they're evil, is some sort of fantasy in my mind.
I would actually give him a little bit better odds than what I would have given Arjun. So I would go at around 10 to 15%.
Why though? Why? I'm just curious. Why?
Okay, Fabi, we are back with another episode. We were actually discussing, without knowing what was being discussed in the Hans interview, I think we should start probably with that, just because it was lasting for so long. It was an interview that generally lasts for about 5 minutes. It lasted for 30 minutes, and a lot of things have been said, a lot of things have been discussed in the chess world since, based on that interview. Obviously, I'm talking about the Dania and Hans interview post his match against Wesley So, which he defeated. Congratulations based on that. Fabi, did you get a chance to watch the interview? What were your initial thoughts? We're going to go through some of the critical moments. We're not going to go through the whole thing, but your initial thoughts about the interview.
Yeah, I did watch it, of course. I mean, after we did our last episode, where we were talking about it without watching it, some people didn't like that.
No.
But okay, I mean, the thing is, like, we didn't know that there would be a big interview. It just happened while we were already filming, so.
Yes.
And we had very limited time. It was kind of, scheduling was a bit tight, right? You had to go, so.
Yes.
That's why we didn't go through the whole process.
Correct.
My general opinion is that there's nothing new.
Like, exactly. That's my opinion, just to get that out of the way.
I think
nothing.
Yeah,
new.
Because we know that in 2022, Hans gave an interview after Magnus withdrew from the Singfield Cup. Very passionate interview. And a lot of the things he said, not on the record, like privately, was more or less consistent. Like, he maintained the same opinion about everything, and he maintains the same opinion 2 years later.
First of all, you know, people are absolute idiots, because the explanation I'm going to give is going to make you all look, all the top GMs look like total idiots. So the position, first of all, they said there was zero game. There was a game. Check the database. There's this thing in chess called transpositions, okay? Now, when he played the move A3, of course I'm expecting the move knight F3. Now, let's say in the Catalan, no, let's show it, because this is just embarrassing. This is absolutely embarrassing.
So I didn't see any really new things. He maintains that he was unfairly targeted, and that Chess.com and Magnus were colluding, and that they were attacking him personally, and that everything that happened post Singfield Cup was unfair. This is what he said, or not even posting, it was like kind of during Singfield Cup.
Yes,
this is what he said 2 years ago. He says it now, and the only things that have changed have been the resolution of all the lawsuits and what both parties kind of agreed to, negotiated, and so on. But that already happened after, like, that's happened months ago.
It does feel like a he said, she said type of situation. And just to give a little bit of background to people that have been in the chess world and involved in the chess world and following, I guess, the chess world for less than 2 years, you're talking about the interview that he gave to the St. Louis Chess Club and Alejandro Ramirez after, I believe it was round 5 of the Singfield Cup. You can watch that. We will put it in the description.
First round, he draws Levon. Second round, he beats Mamadiarov. And then third round, he beats Magnus with Black. And then Magnus withdraws fourth round. So it must have been after the fourth round where he, I think, drew Maxime.
He didn't discuss too much after the fourth round. The big interview and, let's say, the big clash with chess.com and basically reiterating what he said in the interview with Dania as well is after the fifth round.
Okay, yeah, the exact timeline is a bit, but is a little bit fuzzy to me. But yeah, he gave this very passionate, personal interview where he revealed a few things. Like, that was the revealing moment where he said he had been uninvited from a tournament which was called the Global Chess Championship, I think at the time that was the name of it, mm-hmm. which he had qualified for. And so he had qualified fair and square for that. So, of course, it was very, like, you need a good reason to uninvite someone from something that he or she has qualified for.
Yes.
So that was, I think, the big thing that set it off after Magnus. Like, Magnus withdrawing, I don't know if it would have set things off too much, but the fact that he had been uninvited from a tournament by chess.com.
And banned by chess.com.
Yeah, I think this is, like, the thing which Danny Rensch has publicly said was a mistake on their end. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I guess we'll get into the actual details.
Absolutely. Let's do it. I'm going to start playing his interview with Dania just about now, and we're going to start with minute number 6. Let's see what was said at that
particular point. Is it exactly 6?
Exactly 6, so you can start playing it right now.
Okay. And what is your sort of current stance on Magnus and what he thinks about you?
Well, to be honest, the only thing that I'm concerned with is playing the best chess in the world, and that's what I've done in these past two matches. And with regards to a matchup, you know, I don't understand how the chess world has become so distorted and so incapable of understanding reality. The reality is that if you assess my over-the-board chess, there has never been a shred of evidence of ever any over-the-board cheating. Every single organization, including the most corrupt ones like chess.com, have proven that I have an innocent. And the only reason that I was defamed and attacked was because someone had threw a hissy fit and acted on a personal vendetta to ruin my career. And despite the sort of media attacks and the PR moves, that has happened. But for me, I have absolutely, in my eyes, this is only about proving to myself that I can overcome the greatest obstacle in the world, which is this sort of evil chess mafia, which is working against me. And I don't mean to say this as lightly. Like, it's just, for me, it's hard to even take those questions seriously, because I find the sort of chess establishment to be so insane. Like, I don't understand how when you're a 19-year-old kid, you can be united against by the entire chess establishment, be proven innocent time and time again, and still have your career attacked and destroyed and blacklisted. It's like, for me, I simply don't even look at these people. They're not even, for me, they have sort of degraded themselves morally by trying to destroy my life. So,
okay, I think we can probably pause it right here. Obviously, he feels like there's been a personal vendetta against him by the big entities of the chess world. He names, in this particular case, Magnus and chess.com, but also during the interview that you mentioned at the beginning, he also mentions Hikaru. Again, these were things that were discussed at length, and I would assume a lot of things have been shown during the trial, yeah, or during the lawsuit. I don't think there was actually a trial. It got solved. So at this point, it's sort of, again, it continues being outside of the lawsuit, which was resolved, continues to be a he said, she said type of situation. And perhaps we should also say what Danny said on Twitter in response to all of these allegations, just to kind of try to keep an unbiased perspective. He did say, that nobody colluded in regards to this point that Hans just made. Nobody colluded to blackball you. There is no conspiracy theory. There was only deep concern about a kid who had a known history of cheating and who then beat the world chess champion and couldn't explain it on camera. Cheating has consequences even for young players. If you're currently having trouble getting invites or have bad relationships with other organizers, this could be due to your own behavior and communications. There is no collusion. So basically, Danny reiterates, by the way, we will leave that response as well somewhere in the description. You can check it out for yourself. He also discusses all the points that Hans raises during this interview. So, what's, I guess, your take on it? Do you think there's any collusion? Do you think people are trying to blackball Hans and eliminate him from the world of chess?
I think what he's saying, that there is like a determined effort over a long period of time, that doesn't hold merit, because he's on chess.com. He has the platform. He plays in their events, and then he's given a platform to speak about all his thoughts. And how the interview works, I can say this from experience commentating for chess.com, is that Danio and David Howell was also a commentator, but he wasn't doing the interview. They have the producer in their ear who tells them basically like, yeah, now you asked, maybe you asked about this, or now you know, take 30 seconds, or like, David, now you speak for 30 seconds. Now, Donnie, you speak for a minute, and so on. A lot of it can be spontaneous, but a lot of it is being directed by like the nature of the conversation could be directed by a producer. So all this is like, they want this conversation to happen, and they want Hans to play, probably because he's also good for their views and for their events, because he is a figure that brings a lot of attention, whether it's positive or negative or just controversial, whatever it is. He's obviously a person that people want to watch and talk about and watch play chess. And if you're trying to get someone out of your events, then you probably don't, you know, allow them to continue playing all your events and being basically like the centerpiece, as he has been for the Speed Chess Championship. He's basically been the most talked about person, right? So you can't say these people are all against me while you're on. I mean, you can say it, obviously, but it doesn't really, to me, ring true if you're saying, okay, all these people are against me while you're... it's like if I went to a country and I said, you know, they're trying to imprison me, and meanwhile, they're just like giving me a platform to speak, and then they don't imprison me. And then I keep saying, well, they're trying to imprison me, but they're doing is giving me opportunities to interview. But if we go back in time, so that's why I say it's not like a continued effort. If we go back in time...
And just to first of all, kind of drill on that point, Danny does mention that as well. You are now back on chess.com. By the way, he's giving a 30-minute interview to discuss all of these things, and he's not being cut out by the host.
I don't think they should.
Which can be...
They shouldn't. They should allow him to speak his mind.
Again, interesting. Exactly. And that's exactly what Danny also says. You are now back on chess.com, playing in all of our events, which likely would have happened much faster if you haven't filled a lawsuit that was dismissed in federal court. And we are clearly providing a platform in our events and broadcasts for you to voice your perspective. We aren't limiting you in any way. So basically exactly what you just mentioned, and this was addressed by the CEO.
But I do disagree with Danny on this.
Okay.
If we go back in the past.
Okay.
If you go back to, well, actually, this is a long history, right? So Hans admitted that he cheated online when he was 12.
Yes.
And I think 16. He mentioned these two ages.
Multiple times, yes.
Well, he didn't say multiple times, but he said like when I was 12 and 16, right? So, and of course, when you're 12 and 16, you are a child or a mid-teenager. But yeah, you're very young. And if you make some mistakes, even some serious mistakes, we, of course, can allow forgiveness for this. But chess.com did forgive him, right? They did not when he initially cheated, when he was 12, when he was 16, they said, okay, we know you were cheating, but, you know, we're going to give you a second chance and a third chance to play on our site. And this was not public.
Again, now, just to kind of give all the information about how, let's say, this banning system was working previously. I don't know if this was changed, but Chess.com was generally giving a second chance to cheaters, more or less. If the cheaters or the people, you know, that broke the fair play regulations were admitting to it. So if you admitted, you're generally giving another chance, another account to play from.
Yeah, look, and if a 12-year-old cheats, I'm not saying, you know, end their career, obviously. So that makes sense. But then in 2022, something changed, which was that Magnus withdrew from the tournament after he lost to Hans, right? It's very well known.
Round three, singular call, and yes.
After round three. And then chess.com made a decision to uninvite Hans from the global championship. And this is where I think they actually say this is a mistake. I think it's a mistake not only from a point of like morality, but also from a point of it was a professional mistake. It backfired on them.
Yes. And if they Danny addresses that, he said that he apologizes directly to Hans for that. And he says that they didn't handle that situation correctly.
Now, if Hans means that in that situation, there was collusion against him between, and I think this was actually one of the main points of the lawsuit, that basically there was a merger between the Play Magnus Group and between chess.com. And coincidentally in all of this, coincidentally or not, I guess that's a question, but let's say coincidentally in all of this, there was also a cheating scandal and Hans was blacklisted after he beat Magnus. And the idea is that Magnus lost and then started complaining to everyone saying you have to get rid of this guy, and then all these organizations went you know and did that for him, which I don't know, I don't believe that's exactly how it worked out, and of course I don't know the internal conversations, but the timing is really really odd and is not very flattering to chess.com that immediately after they just uninvited him from his tournament that he fairly qualified for. And they admit this is a mistake. I think it was a very costly one for them. And yeah, you could argue that it can't be a coincidence that Magnus and chess.com were kind of partners. And then suddenly these two seemingly unrelated events happened. And okay, so what Danny mentions is that basically if you ruin your reputation by cheating, then the consequences of that are hard to control. Basically, that's what he means, right?
Yes.
On the other hand, chess.com probably should, like, in one case, you have a 19-year-old person, and they're not going to act in a completely perfect manner, but as a big organization, probably you should be acting with more responsibility, right? So you should make sure that your actions are 100% morally and professionally correct. And while if you're just one person, especially a 19-year-old person, then okay, you could easily make mistakes. Like I think that Hans also made a miscalculation, which I think that when this all went down, he should not have made this explosive interview. I think like the correct thing to do is to try to resolve things internally. And then if you can't do that, then you go to the more explosive methods. But before anything could have been discussed, he went and he gave this very, very passionate interview where he started to attack a lot of people. And I don't think that this was like his first instinct, right? He just emotionally did this.
This was definitely an instinct-based decision, I would say. But I don't know exactly, and again, I think we're just speculating at this point, how much discussion was internally being had between Hans and the chess.com team. We don't know that because, again, his interview, this explosive interview, happened after round five. So this was, let's say, a day and a half after he got banned from chess.com, after he was banned from accessing his account. A day and a half, he didn't do the explosive interview after day four. He did it after day five. So there was a pause.
Nothing
one
could
day
have happened early. Like, he couldn't, if he had tried to negotiate and say, like, you're, what you're doing is completely unfair. Yes, maybe I cheated when I was years ago, but you unbanned me for that, and now you can't just suddenly ban me on based on things that you had already unbanned me for. And that would be a very fair point. Like, you can't, unless you have some new evidence, you can't just suddenly remove me from a tournament that I qualified for. And if he had done all that internally, and then I think probably figured things out, I think that it actually would have worked out in the sense that they would have found a mutual understanding, most likely. Although, of course, you can never know. And if that doesn't work, then you go to the either public opinion or you know, lawsuits and so on, which he actually went to both. But if you notice, once the lawsuit started, then everyone was
quieted
suddenly
down.
Quiet. So
yeah.
So the initial interview was a very emotional thing, and which you can't blame someone for being emotional in that situation, but I don't think it's the best way to go about things. Like, unless you first make sure and exhaust your options in terms of negotiation with the other party, I think that that should be the first step.
Okay, so now I have kind of not necessarily unrelated to this Hans topic, but kind of a more general question for you, because I just saw it being discussed at the Olympics as well. Cheating at the Olympics, we know obviously within the chess world, cheating is big, because once you cheat, nobody can stop you. If you cheat, nobody can stop you. I mean, it's extremely easy. It's not like steroids. It doesn't give you just like an unfair advantage. It makes you basically God over chessboard. Michael Phelps, I think he was quoted. I've seen a recent quote of his that he said he's of the opinion of one and done. You got caught once cheating, that's it. Banned for life. What's your take? Is that too extreme for chess? Like, how should we handle this huge, huge problem in your opinion? And of course, I'm sure we've discussed this before, but let's just try to rehash that.
Yeah, so this is, I think it's just too different to compare these things. And the reason why is a few things. So first of all, cheating is cheating, whether it gives you an advantage where you know, you're a god, as you say, you're Stockfish, you beat everyone, or if, because, okay, in like these races, it's very often tenths of a second. So of course, the smallest advantage is going to potentially be the difference between fourth place and a gold medal.
Huge.
So I, to me, cheating is cheating. The difference is that in these Olympic sports, it's like people work for a goal every 4 years, and then they don't have many chances. And if you cheat and you get a gold medal, that could take a chance basically of a lifetime away from someone else. In chess, these are tournaments like every few days, every few weeks. And a lot of them, especially these online tournaments, they're basically, I won't say meaningless, but they're not very consequential. And actually, I think chess.com in their report, they basically gave the events where they thought that Hans was cheating. And a lot of them were like really inconsequential things. And so if, let's say, someone plays like a casual match with another player and they're caught cheating, it's obviously not a good look. It would be fair to ban them from the website. But to ban them completely the way that Phelps says, you can't compare the two situations. It's not like, it's like cheating in a world championship match. Then, of course, I think a lot of time bans.
What if somebody gets caught cheating in a candidates or a world championship match?
I think that, yeah, those situations, then we can definitely say it's not unreasonable to suggest a lifetime ban. But if it's like, well, first of all, online cheating is so commonly happens that you might not be left with many players. No, I mean, obviously it's not like most players, but you might like lose a serious amount of GMs, because I know the amount who have been banned. It's a very high amount. So these are players who websites have determined have been cheating. So to just end their careers, you're actually seeing a significant amount of people being banned from chess. And a lot of it's for stuff which, again, I think cheating, even if the stakes are very low or even none at all, is still a very bad thing. Like, for your integrity as a chess player, you need to have integrity that you just don't do it under any circumstances. Even if it's like a casual 3-minute blitz game and it's for absolutely nothing, it's just, I think, a thing where you just never do it. For me, it's like, yes, of course, you never do it in the candidates, you never do it in a world championship match, but you also never do it if I'm playing you in a casual blitz game, even if I tell you afterward, yeah, of course, it's like no harm done, but still, you don't do it. But if someone does do it, yeah, you probably don't ban them for life, right? That seems like an overreaction. And the other issue is that if someone is caught cheating in, like, let's say the Olympics, it's because they're caught with a substance, right? So they're caught red-handed. They get tested for something and they get caught red-handed. In chess, we don't really have the caught red-handed thing. Unless someone is really stupid, like they get caught with a device, which happens, a phone in a tournament, right? This does happen. But when we're talking about online chess, and even very often over the board chess, there's some suspicions, but very often no, there's no smoking gun sort of evidence.
But you could also make a parallel between, getting caught at the Olympics and in chess and the false positives. It's very often that those substances are just in, like, let's say, a tainted supplement. Like the athlete didn't even know that they took it. And there's been instances where false positives have been overturned. The same could be said for chess and algorithms and whatever chess.com is using in their cheat detection system. The
Sure,
same type of situations could occur.
but since we don't have like a overseeing body for any of this, it's very much like, okay, chess.com has their thing, LeeChess has their thing, FIDE has their thing, and we don't actually have much insight into it. I think some of the players do have insight, like I've been explained about how basically they go about detecting cheating, but for the outside public, there is no like real transparency about it, and I'm not sure there should be. And their methods will differ from other organizations. So there's a big question there as well. It's like we had this recently, like someone was determined to have been cheating by chess.com, but that person maintains their innocence. Won't get into the details of that, but they maintain their innocence, and then the internet decides who they believe.
Yes,
And everyone will have a different opinion.
and that actually is a great segue to the next point that Hans makes and his discussion with Danny Rensch, his private discussion, which he says that Danny Rensch told him that he knows he didn't cheat. So let's listen to that and then we'll kind of
Which
see
time is that?
both. Yes, let's start at minute 13 and 56 seconds.
Let's look. 1356. Okay.
Play.
Chess.com has lost all credibility after this Chess.com report because there are so many logical fallacies. The worst thing about it all is you have Danny Rensch, who is the CEO of Chess.com, and he said to me on the call, he said, "We know you never cheated while streaming." It's a direct quote. I can hear that voice in my head 100 times. And he said this, and the worst part is that he knows he said this. And despite him saying this, and despite him knowingly lied, Chess.com, a multi-billionaire company, decided to destroy a 19-year-old kid's career because someone got upset. That is like the reality. In terms of overboard cheating, there's never been any doubt. There have never been any accusations. Not accusations. There's never been any evidence. It's been complete fabrication. FIDE has shown that, Chess.com has shown that, every single expert has done that. So in reality, I would hope that people wake up and stop sort of accusing me, and start to sort of give me the opportunities I deserve so that I can, show people how good I am.
Okay, so basically saying that Danny told him that he knows he didn't cheat, basically calling the chess.com report, 50-page report, complete nonsense. And then Danny responds to that. He says, "We 100% stand by the findings in the Hans Niemann report. This includes both that we found no evidence of you cheating over the board, so that correlates with what Hans is saying, but also that you have cheated much more online than you continue to present." Ken Ragan agreed with our conclusion in over 50 games, etc., etc. Regarding me saying that you did not cheat while streaming, that is a misrepresentation of the context around our conversation. After you admitted cheating, I had no desire to reveal which games or events we had found cheating in. And this is something that you mentioned as well, since you've kind of seen, let's say, under the curtain, You know, let's say, how the cheating mechanism work. You said that perhaps it's not a good idea to show it to everybody because that's going to make it easier for people that want to overpass that to do so. What's your take on that?
Well, to be honest, I think it's probably not too difficult anyway. I mean, I do have a feeling that someone's a really strong player. They can get around it pretty easily. Although I could be wrong, obviously, it's possible. And I've even spoken to them about like trying to see if like I'm playing some games against someone who knows, and they can determine if their algorithm actually detects if like one of us or they offered to me to like use some assistance and see if I could fool their algorithm or if I get flagged. But I also don't want to do that. I never took them up on it because, well, first of all, I'm not like part of their cheat detection. This is not my job, right? And I don't want to do things which I still feel would damage the integrity of my chess playing. So using an engine while playing, even if it's totally agreed upon and playing against someone who knows it and so on and so forth, still feels a little bit like breaking that integrity. I don't know,
kind it's of very strange. Yeah, it's a very strange feeling.
It would feel weird to me. So anyway, that's besides the point. But this is a Hans and chess.com are making two different claims here. Chess.com,
he says, she said, basically. Well,
they're both saying, like, they're both agreeing that there was cheating. I mean, there was never any dispute about that. But Hans is saying that it was long ago in the past in irrelevant games, and I think ended when he was 16, and it never happened when he was streaming. I think this is one of his main points, which I don't really know why that's especially relevant, but whatever. He has clarified this. While chess.com does say it was happened when he was streaming, and also I think lists the events and said that it ended when he was 17, and says that it's more extensive than he claims, which again, you just have to decide. Like from my point of view, there, when Hans speaks about it, there does seem to be an element of minimizing it. That's my feeling about it. Like there seems to be a kind of like trying to downplay it a little bit. He is saying it was a serious mistake and I regret it and so on, and he admits to it. But there is that element of like trying to make it a little bit less serious than that's just my feeling.
Again, like, this whole discussion seems to be just a situation in which Hans heard what he wanted to hear from Danny. Danny said and perhaps left a couple of details outside of that discussion because he wanted to protect his cheating mechanism, anti-cheating system. She said, depending on which side you're on, basically you're going to draw your own conclusion.
We won't know their internal conversations. We don't know what they said between themselves.
Exactly.
But for me, it's like chess.com clearly made mistakes in terms of handling it. They admitted, and it was also obvious to me at the time. It was like, when Hans was speaking about it 2 years ago, one of the major things was like, why am I being banned from this tournament? And I have to admit, I could never come up with a clear reason why. It was like, yeah, why is it happening now? I mean, these are unrelated
events. Global Chess Championship. Yes.
Yeah, with the Singfield Cup and the Global, it's just unrelated events. So unless you think that you have some new evidence that he's a threat to your tournament, which I don't think that they ever claimed that there was. They always said, this happened when you were like 17, but we already knew about that, right? So unless you have some new evidence, it doesn't make any sense to do what they did. So I always thought they handled it poorly. And also I think it backfired for them in the sense that they had to get tied up in all these lawsuits. We don't know the result of that, but a year of lawsuits and everything that went into that, even the lawyer costs, it couldn't have been too fun for them. So, but the other thing is like, if you cheated, you can't take the moral high ground. I mean, like you can say that what happened was unfair, but you can't say, and I think Hans does say this to some extent, like that he's kind of taking the moral high ground, like everyone else was in the wrong, but, and everything was unfair and like, I didn't deserve this, but you do sort of bring it on yourself. I mean, like what this part makes sense to me that, if you ruin your reputation to this point, that you're like known to have cheated on at least two different occasions, right? Which he admitted to. then this is going to have repercussions. It sort of makes, and I don't think, like, the way I would approach it is not saying like everything was unfair. I'd be like, okay, I understand. I kind of I messed up, and now people don't trust me. But still, you have to be fair within that realm of, yeah, you don't trust me, but you can't just start saying you're cheating here and you're cheating there, and we can't invite you to anything anymore. That's not fair. So that's the approach I would have taken if I were Hans. But his approach has actually worked out, I think. I mean, he basically got everything he wanted. He got reinstated. He generally speaking, I think, is viewed favorably now by the public. Although whatever that means, it's hard to, the kind
He's
of
very
internet opinion.
divisive. He's very divisive. I mean, he has
Yeah.
a significant portion of the chess community on his side and a significant portion against him, basically, at this point.
But a lot of the stuff I see is like very much that he was the victim of this, which in some ways I agree, and in some ways I disagree. Like, it feels like both sides, I don't want to be like both sides, but there were definitely some mistakes from everyone involved. That was my feeling.
Cool. All right, let's continue with the interview. Let's move on to another point. And again, we're jumping over a lot of things that have been said just because we don't really have the time right now to go through the whole interview step by step. I'm going to jump to a minute 22 and 30 seconds. Fabi,
One sec, 22 seconds.
whenever you're there, let me know and I'm going to
Okay,
start
let's do
it.
it.
For me, not I'm not put up to ask this
Go ahead.
question. If you could speak to Magnus on air, and let's say Danny, Magnus, and you had the chance to be on a call together and to have an honest conversation where all of the information was exposed, your perspective, Magnus's perspective, chess.com perspective, would you be comfortable with such a call? Do you feel like you have nothing to hide to such a degree that you would be comfortable talking to both of them on air? And are you interested in improving your relationship? Or do you feel like the abuses that they've committed against you will harm your stance toward chess.com and Magnus for the rest of your life?
I'm gonna say this respectfully, Danya. I understand that
Please.
you're in you work for chess.com and I don't want you to lose your job. But
Don't worry
the
about me.
unfortunate
Just speak your
reality,
mind.
the unfortunate reality is that these people did such heinous things to me that honestly, I see them not I see the relationship, and I see them as people. It's so irreconcilable that it is so beyond repair, because it was truly, truly sick what they did. Imagine you are 19 years old and you have the greatest victory of your life and you reach the top stage, and a multi-billion-dollar company, in combination with a company about to merge, and all the most powerful players accuse you of something you didn't do. And imagine it was impossible for you to prove your innocence despite it being abundantly obvious. And imagine, Danya, like how you would feel if they continuously attacked you. So please think about it. Put yourself in my shoes and being a 19 year
Kramnik's
old kid.
accusing me of cheating right now, as
Yes,
recently as yesterday.
but does that affect your life? Does
No.
that do you understand that I was literally branded as a cheater in all of the news when I didn't cheat? Do you understand all of this anal beads, all of this? Do you understand that I like go outside and I have to live with this insane label of something that I didn't do? And
Yeah.
you understand when you have reporters calling, your family trying to get the latest scoop on you. You have reporters calling friends from 13 years old to try and find something. It's impossible for someone to comprehend the insanity of what they unleashed upon me without experiencing it yourself. But what it makes me realize is that there are truly sick, evil people in the world, and that has given me the ultimate faith that I must defeat them. And I've defeated them on the chessboard, and I'm going to continue to defeat them on the chessboard. And there's no, these people are, their head is so far up their ass that they could not admit any fault. Like, what is chess.com going to say? Oh yeah, we lied in our chess.com report. Are they going to admit that ever? That would, come on. Or like there's the, they went so far and they lied so much that there's simply no way to even like talk, right? There's not even way. How do you even speak to someone who like just lies, blatantly lies
and then just uses all of their like resources and money and power to just destroy your life. Like,
okay, so I think we kind of got the gist of it. Obviously, he believes Chess.com, Magnus, are sick and deluded people. I think he mentions Magnus in that regard as well. Obviously, to me, it just feels that he uses this personal vendetta right now to uses it as motivation. And perhaps, you know, there's people that psychologically can do that very well. And it gives them something to live for, something to work very hard for. And I think right now he basically needs this type of relationship that he built over the years with Chess.com, with St. Louis Chess Club, with the entities that are blackballing him from the chess community and not giving him the opportunities that he deserves. I think he really needs that right now. But again, it's kind of like the same things that have been exposed and said 2 years ago. Finally, it's on the chess.com broadcast. We've seen it on the St. Louis Chess broadcast. We actually have some personal experiences where we've heard Hans talking these type of terms before as well. So it is nothing new, but it does seem like it fuels him, and this personal vendetta definitely seems to be working in his favor psychologically. What's your take on this sick and deluded people bit that Hans just gave us?
I think it's like overly dramatic, but of course this is he has maintained this sort of idea, yeah, that it's like him against the world and everyone's working against him, which I think we spoke a bit about it before, like what happened in terms of the global championship and everything, that was, I think, very sketchy. But the idea that like everyone's working against him or that they're evil is some sort of fantasy in my mind. It's like, first of all, these are kind of normal people. And I think that like Danny, for example, admitted fault in his tweets. And a lot of them are willing to admit that there were mistakes that were made. And
there's been a lawsuit about it, which I'm sure tackled all of these questions and discussions. So I don't know. It just feels a little bit funny to me that we're hearing this once again.
Like, my impression of it is that Magnus, he was very emotional at the time when he lost. And I think that his decision was really wrong, both from his point of view and from like a moral point of view, let's say. I don't think it helped him, but I think it was emotional. And I actually think that he was probably advised not to leave the tournament. And for example, the St. Louis Chess Club definitely didn't want this. And I think that in the aftermath of it, they were extremely fair to him, to Hans, that is, in terms of like Magnus himself was sanctioned for leaving the tournament. The chess club then gave him his opportunity to say his part about it. And I think in the immediate aftermath of it, the St. Louis Chess Club had a fine relationship with Hans. Hans did nothing wrong in terms of that tournament, and Magnus did. That's clear, but that nobody has admitted fault and that they're all evil and working against him, I don't like have this impression whatsoever. And I think I have a really good idea of this one. Like, I think I could speak with a lot of confidence that both he wasn't colluded against to this extent, that he's imagining that this is like a huge conspiracy involving everyone. Absolutely not the case. And that everyone was at fault besides him, which, as we know, like, yeah, when you have this reputation, then even though what Magnus did was absolutely not correct, it's not like this was some sort of evil thing because they're out to get hot, right? This was because he had this like paranoid, perhaps, or emotional moment. Emotional for sure, and perhaps paranoid. Well, I can't speak to Magnus's state of mind, but definitely he felt like something was wrong in that game, and there's no reason to feel that. But But when you get in your mind that someone is a cheater, then it can turn into paranoia. That's my feeling. And I think that I'll just mention one thing, which is that there was a lot of talk beforehand. So I think even Hikaru mentions in his thing, he says like everyone was talking beforehand and it got into Magnus's head, which I actually suspect that to be the case, because I never thought of Hans as like a cheater before the tournament. I didn't know about this stuff.
You
Like
mean
I
a lot
hadn't.
of people were discussing behind closed doors before they met at the Singfield Cup that Hans was in fact cheating?
Yeah, so I didn't know that he had been banned. I had heard from I won't say the people who the people were, but I had heard suspicions about him, but I didn't know that I thought it was just suspicion because there's a lot of suspicion about a lot of people. And some of it is based on like you hear that they're banned, or some of it's based on absolutely nothing. Just you think that they're suspicious yourself. So I heard in that year, in 2022, probably around May, someone say that they don't trust him. Basically, they think that he's cheating online. That was one thing. And then I heard, actually, I played him in the Bundesliga in 22, and at that event, someone came up to me during the game, and said, "What do you think about these players?" So he they didn't just mention Hans, but also another player who I won't mention, and said like. Basically, what do you think about them? Like, I was like, what do you mean? And basically, the idea was they thought that these two people were both cheating online. So I was like, okay, I didn't really speak to it because I didn't have any reason. Like, when I didn't know about Hans's chess, I played him in one game. So, okay, one game, not a weird game at all. And I had no reason to think. So I didn't know the behind the scenes that he had been banned when he was 12, right? For example. But that I had heard this before when it happened during the Singfield Cup, it wasn't like a complete shock. But I hadn't like had as much exposure as other people. That being said, I can imagine that Magnus had heard more stuff, and maybe this influenced his decision, which I think that it was a very poor decision. It was bad from his point of view. It was bad from the tournament point of view, and I think it was bad for like all of chess because I don't think the major cheating scandal was a good thing for us. I think it was just bad for everyone. And so that was a major mistake, but to suggest that it was done out of evilness or that these people, as he says, are all working against him and he's the innocent one and everyone else is evil. It's a very black and white thing, which I don't think is the case. I don't think it's black and white. I think basically, people made decisions emotionally, and they were bad decisions, and they negatively affected him and themselves. And I think those people do regret those things, like Danny mentioned. And of course, I don't know what Magnus thinks, but he probably also regrets what he in he was a part of what started. Now, I wanted to mention again, I don't think that they were the only ones who started it. I think Magnus was the first person to do something that started it, and then chess.com was the second entity by banning him unfairly, in my view, from the global championship. And then Hans was the third by giving this really inflammatory interview rather than trying to understand and resolve things behind the scenes. Now, if he actually had done that, but I don't, it was too soon after. I don't think that he did. If he had actually done that, then I would retract that opinion. But under the assumption that he had not tried to resolve things, mediate things with chess.com, then I think that giving this really inflammatory interview set in motion the sequence of events that happened after that, which was that chess.com responded with their report, right? Which was like 70-page thing, which Hans maintains is false in many ways. And chess.com maintains is true in every way. But again, I don't know. Like, I don't know how true everything there is, and I don't know how false everything there is. But his interview definitely set in motion that. And then their chess.com report, which was probably a mistake, again, another mistake to publish, set off the lawsuit. which was probably a very good idea from Hans.
Cool. Yeah.
That's my view of everything. I think it's like, it's a very, everyone was making mistakes left and right, and you can't paint it as like a black and white thing.
Yes, it's a situation with a lot of moving parts, a lot of details that were more or less known. Most of these details and most of the things that he has discussed in this interview perhaps are new to some people, but these have been discussed in the past at length. So not that much new. Still, it does seem like it refreshes old memories, this interview. And yeah, I think we more or less covered the big parts of this interview. We will leave the interview in the description below. You can check it out for yourself. And before I ask you one more question, I think you guys should comment also and let us know what you think, which side you are on more or less, and give us your opinion, because we do look at the comments. We do tend to, we're not going to get swayed by the comments in any way, shape, or form, but we will get that feedback. So give us your feedback. Tell us what you think about the interview and the whole situation. Now, my final question for you. It does seem, Fabi, that we're going to see Magnus versus Hans. So this is a pure chess question. How do you see the odds play in September?
Yeah, okay. Before that, I just want to mention something Hikaru said. So just one.
Oh, okay.
Like,
okay.
It seems there's some kind of idea that I knew, and Nepomniachtchi as well, knew about Hans beforehand, and that like I was talking to Magnus or to Hikaru about it, which never happened before the Sinkfield Cup. I really did not talk to anyone except the two people I mentioned. And even then, they were just telling me something I wasn't, because I didn't have any knowledge or real opinion about it. So everything before Sinkfield Cup, I had no idea and didn't say anything to anyone about Hans. And everything after Sinkfield Cup is kind of history, right? So we know everything that happened after that.
Yes.
Which is that there was a lot of talk between a lot of people, which included Hikaru, probably Magnus as well, and a lot of other people.
I can tell much, because I don't think, and we more or less talk about a lot of things, but I don't think you ever mentioned Hans before this incident at the Sinkfield Cup.
Yeah, yeah. There's the cheating that I'm suspicious about, or like players I've been suspicious about, but never made public, because I never spoke about it publicly. I think it's maybe better to, like, if you really think someone is, especially an over the board event, like very, very important, I think, to speak to organizers rather than to just like to the void of the internet, where you don't know where your comments go. But yeah, about Hans, like, we never spoke. I just, it was not a thing. I was very surprised by the whole thing. Like, I mean, in hindsight, of course, there was a lot of talk about him, but it didn't somehow reach me too much, except for the two things that the two people who came to me. And those two people were not like in the internet chess scene so much. It was like from unexpected places that I heard this. So I didn't even take it like super seriously. It wasn't like I heard it from chess.com. I just heard it from like a very random source. And it wasn't even like he was caught cheating. He was just, what do you think about him? Like, is he suspicious? And so that's just a small comment about what I think Hikaru might have said. And about Magnus's chances against Hans, I think it's overwhelming for Magnus. Hans has played very well, but I would view Magnus still as a heavy favorite. I think I gave Magnus 90% against Arjun, 85 to 90. I would estimate it higher against Hans, like 95.
Okay.
Maybe people will get upset at That's that fair. Estimate, but I don't think it's unreasonable. I mean, like, to me, Hans is a good player, but he's not at Magnus's level. And even though he was able to beat Wesley and Maxime,
and Anish,
they played very inconsistently. Yeah, Anish, but in a different format. I'm just talking about this format.
Yes.
They played very inconsistently. Like, there was a lot of bad decisions, tilt, a lot of things that they could have done better. And I don't think Magnus will make those mistakes. He just has to outplay Magnus in every single game for an entire match. I don't see that happening. 5%, max 10%.
I tend
10%
to,
seems like it's pushing it.
I tend to agree with that. I would actually give him a little bit better odds than what I would have given Arjun. So I would go at around 10 to 15%.
Why though? Why? I'm just curious. Why?
I just think that he probably has more experience, Hans, that is, compared to Arjun in online chess. I think he feels better. Wait.
But okay, so first of all, just about blitz chess. Blitz chess. Arjun is a more successful player in blitz.
Oh, for sure. Over the board, yes. I just think that they're not going to play over the board. They're playing on.
No,
the
I understand. So online chess, Arjun is a successful title Tuesday player. Hans is also decent, but I don't think that he has had as many good finishes as Arjun, right?
Perhaps that is the case. I don't know. Maybe I'm having recency bias in that regard, but I just feel like at least shape-wise right now, it feels like Hans is in better shape and has more confidence. And I think this seems to be helping him a lot. And he's mentioned this. I don't know.
Arjun is significantly higher in classical. He's significantly higher in blitz.
Oh, I'm not saying he's a better player than Arjun.
Higher rated in bullet.
I'm definitely not saying he's a better player than Arjun. I think so, he's just
like, why would we estimate someone's chances at higher if they're a worse player?
I mean, I just think that given his recent form and his confidence, and perhaps factors such as the pressure that I'm sure Magnus will feel, I think Magnus is going to feel a lot of pressure in this match. All of those combined, and perhaps I will be able to think of more factors in the future, but all of those combined for the moment, I would give him a slightly higher chance than Arjun, which is not to say that he has a huge chance. 10 to 15% is not a lot.
Arjun will also feel pressure, I think, no? I mean,
He doesn't have anything to lose. I don't think he has much to lose.
But he kind of does. I mean, like, normally he doesn't, but because he is so invested and he speaks so much about it and he wants to win so much, and also because he kind of says, like, I'm going to beat these people over the chessboard, these people who are working against me, and number one on that list is Magnus.
But he has the time. That's the thing. Hans has the time. He's only 21 years of age. If he loses this time, he's going to be like, okay, I'm going to, you know, the next time he plays against Magnus, he's going to say the same type of things, right? So he has plenty of time to improve.
Like, you win by the other person retiring, then it's like, okay, I'm 21 and you're 33, so yeah, I'll just wait.
He's going to have a lot of opportunities, and I think he also mentioned this at the beginning of his interview with Dania. Despite his confidence, he didn't have a lot of experience in this speed chess championship format, 5-3 and 1 in a single match, and he wasn't objectively the favorite to win all these matches. So it does seem like he's able to balance. Not sure. Yeah. Smart Chess was giving him, which is chess.com's prediction model, they were giving him as the favorite against Wesley, which was a bit strange.
Like,
it was a bit strange.
But I guess the smarter chess is like some...
It was a bit strange.
Fine AI, just... Because the numbers are, of course, like Wesley's... normally if you go by the numbers, then it does predict with decent accuracy. But yeah, that's true. I think it was like 54-46 for Hans against Wesley. And Wesley,
that was a bit shocking. I'll give you that.
I was also surprised, yeah. But I guess their AI is very sophisticated. I mean, it figured out somehow that Hans was... Like, I would have never estimated. I would have said 65-35, 70-30 for... I mean, maybe I'm wrong. Like, maybe Magnus is not a 90% favorite, but I look at the numbers.
I would say he's an 85 to 90% favorite going into his match against Magnus, against Hans.
Like, it is also true that online chess is different than over the board chess. Like,
way different.
There are differences. I mean,
way different.
I can feel it when I play. It's there's differences in terms of visualization and so on. Like, it does feel different when I play. I feel more confident over the board. That being said, I still think that it mostly is similar. Like, there's differences, but it's mostly similar. And yeah, I don't know. I mean, we'll see. The interesting thing is that there's also two matches, regardless of the result. Everyone will play two matches.
There's going to be a third place match, yes.
Yeah. So Hans will play either Hikaru or Alireza, depending on what happens in both matches. He could play them in the finals. He could play them in the third place match. But I would suspect that he would play them in the third place match. And I think the Hikaru against Alireza match is a much closer affair, where Hikaru probably takes 55 to 45 edge, about as small an edge as you can give him. That's my estimate.
Yeah. No, for that one, I'm right there with you. I think 55-45 is probably the right estimate. Alireza did defeat him twice, back to back, in recent times, and that was not the speed chess championship format, but something similar, also speed chess. But you know, it's not going to be easy. And by the way, Hikaru did mention this regarding Alireza. He said that he's probably one of the two players that he feels he's very similar in strength when it comes to bullet. Like, he doesn't feel he has a huge edge when it comes to bullet.
I think this, like, Hikaru talks about this bullet, like it's bullet, but it's different.
It's one
It's
plus one,
a
yes.
yeah. It's like, look, if I play Hikaru in 1-0, if I play Alireza in 1-0, I understand what the result is. It's going to be. It's not going to be good. And in 1-1, they're obviously favorites, but it's
Yes.
still different. It's like you have a chance with the 1 second increment. Like if I played Danya, who in 1-0 he would destroy me. Like I have no illusions. He would absolutely just crush me. But in 1-1, I think I should be a small favorite against Danya. Choosing him as like one of those guys who's a very, very good blitz bullet player, but he really specializes at no increment. And that's why I think the increment changes things massively. So I don't know, like I don't see Alireza and Hikaru as yeah, they're really good, that's true. But as head and shoulders above other people, like I think a guy like Maxime, a guy like Duda can compete at 1+1 against them. Anyway, that's just my opinion.
Cool. All right. Perfect. I think we more or less covered everything. Once again, guys, let us know in the comments below what you think of this whole situation and what is your anticipation for September. What do you think is going to happen in that match between Magnus and Hans? But before that, Fabi, I think it's time for you to play some Blitz over the board, some Rapid over the board as well. The St. Louis Rapid Blitz is starting. Hikaru is going to be one of the wild cards, so there's going to be some exciting clashes in that one. I will be in St. Louis tomorrow to do the commentary. Maybe we'll meet in the interviewing booth as well, Fabi. But yeah, looking forward to see you tomorrow. Good luck tomorrow, and I'll catch you on the next few days.
All right, sounds good.
Cheers, guys. Have a good one. Bye bye bye.